Hi, it's Stuart. In my regular weekly episodes, I talk about the theories, methodologies, and principles associated with investing. The purpose of these case study episodes is to demonstrate how our advisory process has positively impacted our clients by sharing some real-world applications. And in this first case study episode, I'd like to share the story of some clients that we've been working with for over 14 years. And they've really, these clients have put themselves in a situation where really they've got more money than they'll ever need. You know, there's no chance, I don't think, of them spending their capital away, which is a great situation to be in, probably the situation where most of us want to be in by the time we get to retirement. And they retired about 4 or 5 years ago. So they're certainly well into retirement and enjoying it. And the reason I like this case study is because part of the time that we've been working with them, they've been sort of in the acquisition stage and investing stage and so forth. And the other part of the time we've been working with them, they've been retired. So we started working with them, with these clients in 2010. And of course, in these case study episodes, I'm not going to share any personal information, names, or anything like that to obviously protect their privacy. And I don't think those elements are relevant, but trust me, these are real life numbers and real life clients. So as I said, we've been working with them for about 14 years. When we started working with them, the female just went through a marital separation, but they had a reasonable investment asset base, about $2 million, you know, excluding their home value. And a lot of that was from the matrimonial separation that the female had just been through. Their net worth today, excluding their homes, about $6.4 million, consisting of about $4.1 million in super and $2.3 in personal assets. And they have no debt. And really, they've had not very much debt over that period of time. So we've done it without gearing. And the compounding annual growth rate ends up being around 8.7%, so almost 9% over that time, which is pretty good considering two things. The first one is that we've been very conservative with their asset allocations, so haven't been aggressive at all. Probably some of the most conservative asset allocation amongst our client base. And secondly, we had very little gearing over that time as well. So let me tell you what they've invested in. So inside their super fund, they've got a investment grade property, an apartment in Elwood, two bedroom apartment, actually hasn't performed very well at all. Not because the asset is wrong, but just that sector of the market has underperformed really for most of the time that they've owned it, unfortunately. Although I'm going to do some more work on that sort of sector of the market in the coming months, so look out for that. We've invested in bonds, a lot of fixed interest, both in direct corporate bonds and also index style products. We've got investments in infrastructure and global property. We've got investments in commercial property in Melbourne through an unlisted commercial property trust. So they only own, you know, a share of those assets. And of course, we've invested in Australian and international shares, and they've got a reasonable amount of cash, more than $500,000 sitting in cash as well. So as you can see, they've got a pretty diversified asset allocation, and they've got a lot invested in bonds, infrastructure, global property, commercial property, Australian residential property, and cash. All of those would be relatively defensive investments, and not a lot invested in Aussie and international shares. So again, that very conservative asset allocation still hasn't harmed them because, you know, they're still in a very good position asset-wise. So when I reflect back and think about over the last 14 years, and I haven't been dealing with them over that period of time, we've had other advisors look after them, but when I reflect back over that period of time, what have they done well and why are they in the position that they are today? And that's what I want to sort of share with you in this case study episode. So firstly, they've always taken advice. You know, they know what they don't know, which I don't think is all that common. In fact, Roy Morgan, you know, the firm that does a lot of consumer research, estimates that less than 10% of Australians have a relationship with a financial planner. And I would say a very small percentage of them would have a relationship with a financial planner for 14 plus years. And, you know, that long-term relationship, obviously long-term investing, is what drives value. And we can put some advice together for a client, but they might not actually be better off in a couple of years' time, you know, just because markets move in different ways and so forth. But certainly they should be better off in 10 plus years' time. And they've had the fortitude to understand, hey, we'll pay these advice fees because, one, we don't want to have the burden and responsibility of making all these decisions by ourselves without any advice. But most importantly, we really don't know what we're doing and we're better off to outsource it. The other thing that I have observed with these clients is they've never really worried about short-term investment returns and performance. I know that sounds a bit strange, but if we've ever been in a market situation where their investments have dropped, they've always been focused on the long term. They've never been worried about that. They've been happy to sort of ride it out. And again, that's difficult to do. We tend to get emotional about our money. We tend to sort of emotionally react. We think just because something's changed, we should change something or we should react to that change. And so to sit back and go, you know, it is what it is, let's move on, takes some confidence and fortitude, I guess. It's a lot easier for them to do that today because they've had the experience of the last 14 years knowing what markets do, and their financial position is much stronger than what it was 14 years ago, of course. But again, that's why I share these case studies is, well, what can we learn from those experience and these clients? The other thing, as I said, they've been very conservative with their asset allocation. And they haven't had a lot of borrowings, a lot of gearing. They bought a property inside Super with a very small loan, which they repaid pretty quickly. So they've ostensibly really had almost no gearing through that period of time. Now, there's no right or wrong with asset allocation and gearing. You've got to be very comfortable with the investments that you make. And if you're uncomfortable with debt levels, that's fine. And as I said, they've probably got more money than they'll ever need. So whether their net worth was $6 million or $16 million isn't really going to change their life at all. So there's no problem there. But really, as I reflect, arguably they could have taken a little bit more risk. It's funny that I say that because really, as soon as those words come out of my mouth, I'm starting to think, well, why would you? I guess the point is that if you get good quality advice, you're going to match your risk profile with your outcome. And also, if I thought I had a client that wasn't taking enough risk that was going to compromise their goals, you know, if they were being too conservative, then I would have that conversation and say, look, we can make this decision, but the risk is that you're not going to actually be able to fund retirement. In their situation, that was never the case. And so we'd always have a conceptual conversation around risk, but ultimately, they didn't have to take any additional risk. And I guess knowing that and having that advice and understanding that even if we are conservative, sure, we're going to miss out on some returns, but it doesn't really worry us because we have that sleep at night factor. And the last observation is they've always been good with cash flow management. You know, they've never lived beyond their means, which is not to say that they're very conservative with spending. In fact, they've got some family overseas and they go overseas once or twice a year. So they like to travel and do all the things that we all tend to like to do, but they've always lived within their means and they haven't overspent. And I think that's kind of important as well, particularly in those early years, because they've put themselves in a situation now where they could afford to overspend if they wanted to. I don't think they've got a lot of interest in doing that, however. So as I said at the beginning, I thought this is an interesting case study just because of the longevity of the relationship that we've had with them. And it's always good to think about, you know, well, if we work with an advisor, how is it all going to work out and what people actually invest in? So I thought it was interesting to kind of share their asset allocation as well, some of the key sort of takeaways. At the end of the day, they've played the long game, which is one of the things that I always talk about, that they've made investments and they realize there could be volatility, but they've stuck with those investments. They haven't fiddled around with them. For example, there's a bunch of investments that they hold today that we would have made 14 years ago and we've held on to them for that long. And so I think that's a lesson for all of us and demonstrates the value of really focusing on long-term returns. Thanks for listening, and please share this episode with anyone that you think might enjoy it also. And until next time, bye for now.